podcast. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
As you can see, we have fellow comedian.
That's right.
Actor.
What?
Writer.
Yes.
Rapper.
Keep going.
And father.
About my kids and this shit.
And also, and it means nothing to nobody but me, a fellow John Adams and Cleveland, Ohio rebel.
Rebel, let's go.
Yeah, we have Mr. Sean Showtime.
Yes. Let's go, baby.
In the house.
What's yeah, up? Where can they find you, baby?
Man, you can find me on, you can find me on all platforms, man. You can find me on Sean Showtime on Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram, Sean Showtime underscore funny man. That's S-H-A-W-N Showtime. Sean Showtime underscore funny man on Instagram, Sean Showtime on Facebook. And you can also find me at the child support office because I'm tired of paying. And you can find me there on first of the month, every first of the month downtown.
Episode of the Midnight Paco Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
You know what, man? It's funny you said that, man, because the name of that building is the Virgil Brown Building.
Yeah.
I know Virgil Brown Jr., great guy. And I'm so sorry that his name is associated with that.
How did it come to be?
Well, his father, I guess, did great things, you know.
Yeah. So they named it the
Virgil Brown. It's called Virgil Brown.
It's called the Virgil Brown Building. That's the child support office. They're always putting some fucked up shit on the Brown. They got the Brown. They got the penny. Is it Brown? All that. Everything is bad. It's when it comes with the Brown.
Oh, man.
Is that paying child support?
Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Showtime is here. He's in the house.
What up?
Man. Listen, like, when it comes to, like, if you're not familiar, please get yourself familiar with this gentleman right here because, you know, talking about gut laughs, if you want to laugh nonstop, this guy right here, he's high energy.
Yeah.
He's my age. I'm 49. He's a little older than me.
I'm 49 too.
You 49 too?
Yeah.
He's older than me. When your birthday show, I thought that was your 50th.
No, that's my 49th.
Oh, okay.
My 50th birthday is June 22nd next
year. Well, he's my age,
yeah,
and he has way more energy than me.
He's older than me. He got more energy.
This dude is high octane. Man, listen, man. Like, so how long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing comedy 16 years, man. Going on 17, bro.
Veteran.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
Yeah,
congratulations on that.
Yeah, it's been a journey, man. It's been a journey. It's been a journey because, you know, you just got to grind at it, keep grinding, you know. So
I'd like to ask this, what made you start getting into comedy?
I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah.
Because I got into comedy because that's the only thing child support can't track.
It's cash, man.
I told them
I don't get paid nothing. Excuse me, I thought I turned my phone off.
See?
I'm sorry,
well, hold on. Sorry, that's what happens.
I'm sorry, people.
Who was that? Was that Dave Chappelle?
I don't know who that is, but I just, honestly, that was the child support office. They say, I see you on the podcast. I see you. on the podcast. My bad. Let me turn this phone off so that way we ain't got no issues and no problems. Let me start on. We're going to turn this off. All right, we back.
So how did you get into comedy?
Okay, so how I got into comedy? That's a good question. So this is how I got into comedy. I was doing a stay. I've always loved comedy. I'm talking about, I used to record all of the Martin Lawrence shows, all of the Steve Harvey shows, all of the In Living Color shows. I used to record them on VHS.
Okay.
All of the Jamie Foxx, In Living Color, all them shows, Uptown Comedy.
I love that.
All those shows I used to record because I used to love comedy. So one day, I write plays and movies. So I was writing a play. I wrote a play called Lord Help My Marriage Is in Trouble. So we were rehearsing at a place called Big Boss Lounge, 71st and Harvard.
Shout out to Mac Warren.
Mac Warren, who I went to school with, I also played football with. Green, they both called me, was like, hey, you can do it down here. So there was a comedian in my play. His name was Rob Alexander. He's still doing comedy today. But he was in my play. So one day, I set up a show for him. He was like, I want to get back into comedy. I want to do my thing, blah, 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 blah. So by me being a promoter already, I promoted the show to come down there. So I told myself, I'm going to do some time too. I'm going to try it out because I want to just try these jokes.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he's the man. He going to do his thing.
Right.
So Rob got sick and he couldn't make it to the show.
What?
I had to do the show myself.
What?
First time out.
First time.
And when I tell you, I killed it. And I hate to say that, but it's true. I killed the show. Now, I could have just killed it because everybody in the place knew me. Right. And they were laughing and giving me some charity laughs. Whatever.
Yeah, right.
It was a killer show, however you looked at it.
Hey, when you're hanging out in front of your friends.
Yeah, you know. But I've been hooked ever since that day.
What day was it? Do you remember?
I don't know exactly what day it was.
Okay.
But I can't. I can't remember.
Okay.
But
I don't blame you.
I can't remember because it was so long ago.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do remember this, that I've been hooked on comedy ever since that day.
Nice.
So anybody who becomes a comic, when you get your first laugh, your very first laugh, you are automatically hooked to comedy. And you can't leave it. Like, I done tried to leave comedy 10 times, but the game won't let you leave. It's like there's a ghost in there. Like, you ain't going no damn well. You're going to stay here and make people laugh. Because if this is what you, if this is the destiny that you do, and this is something that God gave you, you can't leave it. It just don't allow you to go. So that's it. That's how I got into comedy.
Plus, you love it.
You know, plus, I love it.
Let me just say this, man. You mentioned Mac Warren.
Mm-hmm.
His place. I couldn't let this pass without the world knowing, and I hope you don't get upset with me by saying this. I knew Mac for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mac, every time I run into Mac, he's doing something impressive.
Mac has always been good. Always been a good dude.
No, let me just say what this dude was doing. This is before the internet, before Facebook and anything.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Mac backed his Ford Explorer at the time up, backed it in. He was serving hot dogs, chips, and chili.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know to do that or to think of, I don't know where that came from, but that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
He backed up his truck. He's serving the homeless people chili dogs and chips. I mean, he's doing it himself.
Mm-hmm.
Before any cameras or any internet, that's what Mac was doing.
Yeah.
The next time I saw Mac, he was reffing one of my kids' games.
Yeah.
Like, every time I see this dude, he's doing something impressive. I'm like,
yeah.
Even if you tried to not like this dude, you'd be like,
the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, he's just, like, doing some impressive things.
I can give you an impressive story on Mac.
What's that?
I can give you the most impressive story that you're going to ever hear about Mac Warren.
Let's go.
I was fighting on the third floor in John Adams.
Okay.
I was fighting Max. Now, you know how big Mac is. Mac the same size now than he was in the sixth grade. But you know how big Mac is, right?
I don't.
No, you don't know.
No.
Mac is a big dude.
He's a big dude.
Mac played defensive line.
Big slew footed.
Big slew footed dude. He about 6'2", 3", about 250, 280.
Mac won.
Might be 3.
Nice.
He was that way.
But he was solid, though. But yeah. Anyway, let me tell you, he looked like G. Garvin. You know who G. Garvin is?
Chef G. Garvin.
Yeah. But anyway, let me tell you what he did. It was so funny. I'm fighting in the hallway. Now, me and we playing football together. Mac grabbed me like a rag doll, put me on his hip, and ran me down all three flights of stools on the third floor. Mac picked me up and put me on his hip and ran me down to the first floor. Like, man, go to go. Get out of here. Get out of here. Dude. That was impressive.
It was.
He picked me up like a rag doll, dude, and
how
put me on his hip.
Yourself,
I don't know, because my legs was dangling. When your legs dangle, it's something about that right, you can't. Right. I don't know, man. I didn't know how to feel. Man, I need to talk to you about that, too, because I don't know how I felt behind that.
Respect and shout out to Mac. Shout out to Mac. You're a real one, dude. I hope you don't mind me telling. What you do, because I know you don't do it for the publicity.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But he always been a good dude, man. Yeah. Real talk. Yeah. Put like this. They opened the door for Sean Showtime. They helped Sean Showtime get where he is today.
Nice. So how long did you do the first time on stage, though?
Man, I did about 20 minutes.
Okay. Ooh. Damn.
No lie. So, like, I actually have that show on video.
Wow.
Right now.
Nice.
And it was a packed house.
Nice.
Now, but see, the back, if you know Big Boss Lounge, it was like a... They had like this back room where they did the club at, like that was their dance area.
Okay.
So they had the bar here. You go through the back. It was like a bigger place. Had a DJ, and then they had like a day play. It was, but I had to get about 80, 90 people in there.
Yeah. Wow.
Easy.
Oh. Wow.
It was like at least 80 or 90 people.
Wow.
In there.
So that's a hell of a show.
Yeah.
So you said first time.
Man, come on. First,
man.
I promise
you. Yeah. No, that's dope.
But I was doing comedy like off the cuffs and. You know, being silly.
Yeah.
But you always been a fan of it. So you mentioned Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, like, if you had a comedy Mount Rushmore, who would they be?
Comedy Mount Rushmore. See, my Mount Rushmore not going to be like everybody else's Mount Rushmore.
That's true. It's who it is.
Yeah. A lot of people love to go back. Eddie Murphy's on my Mount Rushmore and Richard Pryor's on my Mount Rushmore. Okay, they cool. I like them. They at their time they were great.
Right.
But you talking about some gut busting laughs?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
You talking about a laugh that's gonna break your gut?
Yeah.
Man, you got to give me the old Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the new Chris Tucker. Not the $20 million movie Chris Tucker.
Yeah, no.
I'm talking about the broke Chris Tucker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he was
on
Def Jam,
right,
Chris
right,
Tucker.
Right.
Yeah.
Classic.
You got to give me Bernie Mac.
Oh, 100%.
I ain't scared of you, but that dude,
shit,
all the way,
play
all
club.
The way until he died,
Trouble.
He was hilarious.
Trouble.
Yeah. You got to give me him. You got to give me Arnett. No, I mean, you gotta give me Earthquake. That's who I emulate my jokes, my him, you know. I like Arnett's J.
Yeah. I can see that influence.
And my other guy who really influenced me, who I watched as a kid come up, is the guy named Rob Stapleton out of New York.
Shout out to Rob Stapleton.
Yeah. Rob Stapleton is one of my favorite comics, and I just spoke to somebody today who could put me in touch with him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to book that guy. He's one of my guys. He's one of my favorite comics who actually kind of inspired me to do comedy because I watched him coming up.
Nice.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So, like... So those are your Mount Rushmores and things like that. So you've been doing comedy. You're high energy. So like you're my age.
Yeah.
And I asked you this.
Yeah.
Like what do you do for your energy? Like, man, like explain that to me. Like, do you just drink water and eat sticks? I mean, like, what do you?
No.
What
here's one of the main things I do. I got a ritual that I do. before a show. So I'm two people. Okay. If don't nobody know that.
Omar Epps and Mike Tomlin.
Everybody say that shit. Ain't that so crazy? Ain't that so crazy? Because now a dude asked me, "Who are you, Mike Tomlin?" I get like Mike Tomlin. Now I used to get, as a younger, when I was a little slimmer and a little more cocky, I used to get Ray Lewis a lot. I used to get Ray Lewis a lot. But now I done got to Mike Tomlin. Now I don't know. But I'm two people. That's crazy. But I'm two people. I'm Sean Mitchell, but then I'm Sean Showtime. Okay. When I'm Sean Showtime, it's like a switch I can turn on and become Sean Showtime. Mm. So the thing is, I got a ritual that I do before every show. One ritual is I don't drink before I go on stage.
Wow. Okay?
I don't drink nothing but water or juice or pop before I go on stage.
Okay.
I don't really eat anything either.
Ooh.
Because eating and all that stuff, it gives you slushy.
Farts and shit.
You know what I'm saying? It slows you down.
Yeah.
So my ritual is to stay fresh, and I say a little prayer before I get on stage, and then I go on there, and I feel like the reason why people laugh so much with me, and I say with me, is because the energy that I throw out is the energy they bring back.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I give that energy out there, that energy circles and it comes back. It just shoo, 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 shoo. So that's why I have the energy that I do. Now, do it hurt me sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I get off stage, I be boom.
Yeah.
I be, but while I'm up there, you will never know what's going on. The adrenaline going on, and don't let me get on fire.
So,
Hey,
y'all can't see this, but this dude has a bass clef or a treble clef?
Treble clef.
He has a treble clef on his neck.
Yeah. I'm also a musician.
Okay, that's where I was going. Yeah. Musician.
So. Yeah, I play drums. I play gospel, though.
Okay.
I play for the Glory Land Travelers gospel band, and I'm also play for the C-Town Gospel Singers, which was my dad's group before he died.
All right.
So that's who I play for.
Nice.
And I can play the drums. Been playing for a while. I'm working on the bass and all that stuff too. I got a lead guitar at home, so I'm working on those stuff. But music has been in my life before anything.
Okay.
I can say I used to rap. I used to produce music.
Wait a minute. What was your rap name?
My rap name.
I had some little crazy rap names.
One was Thousand Rhymes. Like Busta Rhymes, it was Thousand Rhymes.
Thousand Rhymes.
So I'm not Thousand Rhymes, Thousand Rounds. Like round.
Thousand Rounds.
Yeah. So I used to, you know, do that. And then my first rap name was Mr. Street Sweeper. It was funny because I always go with some guns or something, but that's what it was, man. It was recording stuff.
How old was that?
But I was dope. I was a dope rapper though. Like I really could rap for real.
You want to give some bars?
Like I used to rap for real, man.
Just promoting on the name wasn't
right.
You want to give some bars? You can.
Like let me see. You'd rather make a deal with the devil than to bang with Dow. I'm the one sitting in the back with a half a smile, cocking it back, blade the first one in the clouds. Round two, three, and four, going straight for the crown. If you think you talking shit, I'm going straight for your mouth. If you got a little problem, Thou, straighten it out. And if you get done busting, I'ma kicking you out. Six grown men crying while they walking you out. You thought you could be me? Don't be silly. I do it, you know what I'm saying? I do jabbers with the flow. Thou gets busy. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. You know, see, that's
I heard the thousand round in there.
See, I thought he was gonna do some like some bone like.
Nah, man, I didn't like to do that. I didn't like to do that.
That's why I was like, we grew up in the 90s, dog.
I can see that.
You know, I used to do.
So how old were you when you started?
Man, I was rapping like 18, 17, 18, 19.
So you're 49. So you said you're doing it 16 years. So you were what, 34, 33 when you got into comedy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so crazy because comedy, like I say, I've always been silly, even in school.
Yeah.
So I've always been silly. But I love comedy so much that I just wanted to do it.
Right.
But now everything is comedy to me now. Okay. Everything is comedy to me. Like, dude, every single thing is comedy now.
So did you ever, because I grew up watching all that stuff too, and I always wanted to do comedy, but in my, you know, growing up, I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, you grew up in Erie?
Never had no dreams in Erie, Pennsylvania.
I see why you're a Pittsburgh fan.
Yeah, I'm not from Cleveland. I mean, look, I'm behind any lines up in this piece, but it's become my home. It's become my home, and they've embraced me doing the comedy.
Yeah.
So it's like I kind of got to get shot out to Cleveland, even though it hurts a little. Inside,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I've come to respect it and enjoy it, you know what I'm saying? But, shit, where was I going with that?
You was talking about how you love the Cleveland Browns.
No, I was nowhere near that.
And you got to get you some more Browns gear.
No.
You was talking about how you was, you know, embracing the comedy game and how long you've been doing.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah. There's no dreams growing up in here in Pennsylvania, so it's like I never thought about doing it as a career because it was like it's no, they're on TV.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy and all, you know what I mean? They're all doing it. That's not. I got to go to college and get a degree and get a job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it wasn't until 4 years ago, where I'm, you know, driving a sweeper truck, listening to podcasts, like, oh, open mics, that's how it happens?
Yeah.
Oh, you just start.
Yeah.
There's no, you just start and you get good and meet people and keep going and work it out and trial and error and, you know, years. And I heard 10 years, I'm like, I don't have 10 years. I'm fucking 43 years old. You know, I ain't got a time like that, but... Hey, I think about this. You know, I could be working 10 years from now and say, hey, I could have been doing it for 10 years. So why not start? You know what I mean? And
think about
that's
this.
What got me into it.
Yeah. Hey, so you was telling me about your new adventure that you want to start. Like, so basically, like, this is what we know and people can reference right now, that you did plays.
Yeah.
You wrote plays.
Yeah.
You acted in plays.
Yes.
You did stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You rap.
Yeah.
You're in
a
movie too, right?
Yes, I am. I'm in a movie. I was in a couple movies, but I'm in a movie right now called Credence.
Credence,
and it's coming out. The show viewing is on the 21st of this month, which is next Friday, maybe.
Okay.
Next Friday, the 21st, I believe that's next
Saturday.
Friday. Next Saturday.
Saturday.
Next Friday, Saturday, the 21st. So it comes out. The premieres next Saturday. Where it's premiering at. I think the Lakeshore Theater, I believe.
Okay.
But if I could be wrong though, but I know it premieres on the 21st.
I'm trying to find the link and put it in the description.
Yeah. So, but it's called Credence, and that's one that's gonna be I play a funny uncle.
Okay.
So I come in as a funny uncle, man, and we go in.
That's the one thing I thought about being older. We can always play those roles.
Oh, you can always play uncle. You can always play somebody's daddy.
Yeah. Daddy's
cut the grass.
Yeah. So basically, like, all right. So if we can wave a reality magic wand, what will Sean Showtime be doing? Like. To tell us about this venture you got coming up, and then tell us like what is it that you want to do, or you know.
What I want to do, I've always had to, you know, I've always wanted to do, you know, I don't know if I want to be famous though, right now. I mean, I want to be comfortable for my kids.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to leave something for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As a business owner,
versus
right now, as a business owner, I'm trying to leave some things for my children. You know, I have 5 sons, and they, you know, they all got their own lives. I got one in college right now, I know I had one that was in the Air Force. Yeah, yeah, one is in the college. We had one is in the Air Force. Well, he was in the Air Force, right? You know, he's out now. You know, you know, it's just, you know, it's good to have a son. Like I said, I'm not saying I was the perfect dad, but, you know, sometimes you do the best you can do when you can do it. Yeah. But I love my children, and they know about that. I hang out with them, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the times. And, you know, I don't hang out with them all at the same time, but a lot of times I got two here, I got three here, I got, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
are they all around here?
Yes. Well, one lives in Akron. Jenna lives in Akron. Got one lives in Texas now, but they all was from here, but they moved to different places. My youngest son is in California.
Nice, so you get to go visit.
Yeah, so they all, you know, they all spread out right now. I got one in Cleveland, but two in Cleveland. But the thing is, you know, I got grandchildren too.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying. So I'm trying to be close. I'm trying to be close to them. You know what I'm saying.
100%.
So it's just, you know, you grow and to be some things, but what I want to do, I just want to be comfortable for real, man. I want to be able to, and I know I got some diamonds, man, in the rough, man. Yeah. I got a few movies that I want to put out. Okay. I got a few shows that I want to do. It's just like I'm on a 2025, I feel like I'm going to give it all I got. I'm going to push all the chips on the table.
Let's do it.
And if something happens, it does. If it don't, it don't. But I'm putting it all out on the table in 25.
So that consists of movies?
Yes.
That consists of more comedy shows?
Yes.
That consists of what? Like more plays?
That consists of more plays, more comedy shows, more movies. So I'm talking about everything that I can put my hands on, I'm going to do. Like I said, I've done shows. I've opened up for a lot of big stars. You know what I mean? A lot of big stars. If I can run down the list, I can run down the list. Like I say, man, I've been, you know, shout out to Kool-Aid, man. That's in Detroit. I remember doing a show with him in Cleveland before he passed. Shout out to him, man. Great dude. I don't know if you ever know who Kool-Aid is.
The
but
name sound familiar.
Kool-Aid from Detroit was a dope comic, been around for a while doing this thing, man. And I mean, he's like, I've seen him on TV before I knew who he was.
Okay.
I've seen him on TV. He was one of the, I think he beat George Wilborn. I'm gonna say that in the camera. I think he beat George Wilborn in that contest because it was him and George Wilborn was the finals.
Okay.
And I believe he beat George Wilborn in that finals. Okay. It's just George Wilborn had a backing through the radio because he was on the radio station and all that. But I ain't throwing no shade on George Wilborn. Wilborn is funny as well too. But I just think Kool-Aid beat him on that time. Right. But anyway. But he's been on TV a few times.
Okay.
He's also, you know, and I think he had cancer, I believe. He passed away from cancer. So shout out to Kool-Aid. But I've done shows with him. I've done shows with of course Mike Epps, final show with Mike Epps. I've done shows with
last show.
With Joe Torre, with TK Kirkland.
Okay.
I've done shows with, I mean, you name them. I've done a lot of shows with a lot of people.
Nice.
So it's just a simple fact that, I've done shows with AJ Johnson. Ezell from Friday.
Before
he passed, Shorty from Atlanta. I've done shows with him.
Yeah.
So it's just a simple fact that, because that's when they came to Youngstown. I was the host on that show. It was me. It was Shorty and AJ Johnson, and I was host when they came to Youngstown.
Okay.
So I did that show with him. I did three shows with AJ Johnson though. Okay. Before he passed.
Yeah.
And that was but I've done shows with a lot of people. So it's to the point now. I want to do me. I think I've showed a lot of people what I can do. Excuse me. And a lot of people know what I can do.
Right.
And it's just time right now for Sean Showtime to put his foot on people's neck, put his foot on the thing, put a foot on the gas. I ain't gonna say put you on your neck, but you already know what I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm gonna put my foot on the gas, and I'm gonna go ahead and go with no brakes. So it's just now. It's just time. 2025 is going to be a time where you're going to see a lot of Sean Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
Looking
forward to seeing that.
I always say this to people who write and things and who have ideas. All the people you know in Cleveland, comics and stuff, if you take Clerks.
Yeah.
You ever seen Clerks?
Clerks, no. Is that a show?
It's a movie.
Movie, okay.
It's a movie. You know it's Jay and Silent Bob?
I know who that is.
first movie ever.
Okay.
Black and white.
Okay.
Like, three locations, minimal characters, funny cult movie, yeah. Insert first movie.
Okay.
I always say that's a blueprint yeah. for anything, anybody who wants to do a film.
Yeah.
Think of the places, minimal characters, but look at all the talent you have here.
Yeah.
As far as Timbuktu yeah. as a character. You know, all these comedians we know.
Oh, trust me.
I just throw that out to other comedians who have ideas to write. Just think of something that you can create. Just right here too.
I got a yeah. movie right now. I'm gonna say what it is. I'm not gonna tell you what it's about yet because I wrote it. Is. But I got a movie called Extra. And that movie is so funny. I've got it copywritten too, so nobody steal my idea.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's pretty much about a guy who wants to be a movie star, but every time he's casted, he's an extra.
Oh God.
And it's hilarious. I'm serious. It's so damn funny. So that's gonna be the movie that a lot of the comics are gonna be in.
Yeah.
That I'm gonna put in that movie. That's you know hilarious. What I'm saying?
Nice.
But it's hilarious.
Great. Great. Don't nobody steal it.
They you can't. Know? It's copyrighted.
It's copyrighted. Oh, so they can't steal okay, it. Yeah. But it's funny.
Plus, it's your idea, and I'm sure you already
have. And we got it on tape. Got it on tape. So if somebody steal my idea, I'm gonna go get the tape. I'm gonna say, yeah, you get the tape because you just stole my shit.
Check out Midnight Bible Podcast episode 158. It's documented.
That's the ghetto copyright.
Put a stamp on it.
Right. Put a stamp on it, dog. But yeah, man. But that's pretty much what I'm doing. I got that movie. I got another movie called Unhappily Married that I wrote. So it's a lot of stuff that I'm doing. I got a play, you know what I'm saying? Lord Help My Marriage Is in Trouble. That play has got to come out, you know what I'm saying?
Nice.
So those things are some things that I got going on that's really finna hit in 2025.
Nice.
Like I said, Lord Help My Marriage Is in Trouble. I've done that play about five times in like 2010, 2008. Yeah, I wrote it and produced it. Yeah, I wrote it, produced it. And everything. You can actually watch that on YouTube. It's on YouTube. You gotta find it. It's deep down on YouTube. But you can find it though.
Okay.
But you gotta look at it.
Find it and put a link in
I did that play. Then I'm gonna revamp that and bring that back out again. Got another play called Footsteps in the Dark. So these are the plays that and things that Sean Showtime is about to bring to the table that's gonna change the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people is doing comedy, a lot of people is doing their thing or whatever, but I'm finna really put my foot on the gas and really something gotta pop. So I gotta put all the chips on the table, baby.
So I gotta ask you this, man, because, you know, a lot of people put on shows here locally.
Mm-hmm.
How important is sound, lights, and the place?
Everything is important. One of my things that I've mastered is sound and lighting. And because I was a producer, so sound was very important. Mm-hmm. Sound and lighting is important, especially in comedy, because comedy, you can't, if you're doing comedy in the dark, there's jokes that's just a facial expression.
Right.
That people can see.
Yep.
If they can't see your facial expression, they don't know what the joke is about.
Right.
Then you're in the dark. Same thing with plays. You have to be able to see what people's doing. So lighting is very important. Sound is very important.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be able to do those things.
So
hear and see.
Yeah.
So what does that look like when people book a Sean Showtime and maybe the venue don't have the sound and light that you like? Do you carry your own lighting? Do you carry your own
sound? I don't carry my own lighting. I have sound, but a lot of times I kind of, if it's my show that I'm putting together, or is Sean gonna be writing already? Okay. Sound gonna be right, lighting gonna be right, period.
Right.
Now, because I'm gonna bring my own stuff and I'm gonna make sure it's set up properly. DJ, all that's gonna be done. Now, if I'm doing somebody else's show, I can't control what they do.
Right.
Because I don't know until I get there.
He'll probably show up and talk shit.
You know what I'm saying? Now, but what I will do, I always show up early.
Yeah.
I always show up early. Right. I'm never late to a comedy show. I've always said show up early just in case the sound is not right. I can show them how to fix it. If they can't fix it, if I got time, I'll go get my stuff.
Right.
And put it, hook it up right quick, and then we go from there.
All right. See, this is information that, you know, us as performers need to know.
Yeah.
You know, especially like, you know,
people
like,
who just want to put on shows somewhere, you know.
Right.
It's, it's important.
Yeah. I've put up shows like me and D Hawk.
Shout out to D Hawk.
Yeah, we used to put shows together from back then. So like I say, we had Tickle Me Tuesdays. I had you know how many comedy rooms I've had in Cleveland? Me, see, here's the funny part. Me and D Hawk used to have all the rooms. And I mean, when I say all the rooms, we had all the rooms. Wow. So it was like at a point in time, we had the spot called The Robs. We had that spot for a second. Then we turned around and had that was me and D Hawk room for a second, and then I had the spot on Lee Road. It used to be called the Juvade, but I forget it was called Club Premier when I had it.
Okay.
Club Premier, I had that room. Then I had Club Vada downtown. Mm-hmm. Club Vada is now called the Medusa.
Oh, that's a big club.
I had that as a room.
Wow.
Down there. And I'm talking about sold out shows down there. Okay. You know what I'm saying? We had big shows down there. We've had D Hawk had I forget the other name. It was a Shaker. But pretty much we had so many rooms. I had the Bugetto's. Mm. That was one of my rooms.
Bugetto's out in Warrensville.
Out in Warrensville. That was one of my rooms. I mean, we had so many rooms, was crazy, that we was doing comedy in. Show love to everybody, though.
Nice.
We didn't never tell nobody they couldn't come to our rooms. Right, it wasn't right. like that. Everybody was coming on to our room. Now, people hated the fact that we had all the rooms, but we show love to everybody.
I mean, yeah, why would they care if you're letting them get up?
See, yeah, everybody had. Comedy, yeah, yeah.
I just don't understand, man. So, you know, the bickering, but.
So, basically, like, you know, just like rap and high school, there's comedy classes, and they sort of, like, kind of stick together through the years of keeping contact. So, me and Jay started around the same time along with other comics and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And you had, like, a class of comics that you kind of started out with too.
Yeah.
You said it was you, D-Hawk, who were the other
names? So we was called the Young Guns of Comedy. We was the Young Guns of Comedy. Not because we were young, it was because we were young in the game.
In
the comedy. So we called ourselves Young Guns of Comedy.
Who were those people?
So it was me, D-Hawk, Jin-Jin.
Shout out to Jin-Jin.
Keith Kendale.
Shout out to Keith.
Shout out to
Al Boogie.
Al Boogie.
That's who it was. And we was the Young Guns of Comedy.
Man.
And we used to go and we used to do our thing. We used to really go and do our thing. You know what I mean? We used to do our thing. So we was a little clique. Everybody, you know, separated and did their own thing or whatever, right. which was cool. Everybody grew in the game and just kind of separated off and did their own thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for the most part, we was doing a lot of shows together.
So, like, they say, like, a lot of times that comics, it takes them 10 years to find their voice. Like, when you, how long did it take you to find your groove?
I would say really to find your groove, it took me about that long, honestly.
10 years?
Honestly, it takes you to really get a real set. A real set is going to take you about 5, 6, 7 years. Because, yeah, you can get up there and do some jokes, you know, but a solid set, that's what they don't understand. And I'm going to tell people this, and I'm going to throw this out there for comics who really want to feel like they need to do new jokes all the time.
Yeah. Speak on that. Speak on that.
Now, here's the thing. If you at the same venue over and over and over and over again, okay, write some new jokes because you got some people sick. But if you in the city and nobody knows who you are,
right.
you got to do the same solid set that you can do.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. If you create yourself 5 to 10 minutes, you can take that 5 to 10 minutes anywhere in the country.
Anywhere.
Compared to you going to do some new jokes that you don't even know what's funny.
Right.
You don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So you going and you doing these new jokes and you bombing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody wants to.
And don't realize why you bombing, because you don't have the timing on the joke. You don't even know the real premise of the joke. You just throwing some shit out there because you want to do something new. But the thing is, if you do your set over, find you a set that you can do over and over when it becomes embedded in your brain. So anytime you can do comedy, you can stand up and do comedy right now. If they gave me a mic and said, hey, do 10 minutes, I could do 10 minutes right now because I got a set that I can use. Yeah. Now, you might have heard these jokes. You might have heard, but guess what? 4 people in the audience might have heard the joke, but the other 35 haven't.
Right. Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
So that's something to think about. Yeah. And the thing is this, you get you a solid set. You can take that set anywhere. If you get booked over in Columbus, guess what? I'm going to take my solid 10, 15. So, for the most part, when I get booked as a headliner. Yeah. So, I do 35, 40 minutes. Right. Now, I may come over there and do the same set I just did in Cleveland. Go down there and do that set. I may have to go to Dayton and do the same set. I'm going to take that same set and go over to Florida with it. And I'm going to take that same set and go to California with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because guess what? Them people have not seen you. Now, once you do that, now me personally, I've been doing the same. I have the same set that I've been doing a long time. I've added stuff with that set.
Right.
But I'm finna do another special with all new stuff. Because okay. I've been doing this set for a long time.
Yeah.
This set is just been done for a long time. So right. Now it's time to do some new stuff. Yeah. Now, when I do this special that I'm getting ready to do, of course it's going to be old jokes that I've had. Because this is the one I'm really finna do on a professional side. Okay. That I really want to put on Netflix
or one of them. I'm finna do one of them. There's so many people out there who have not heard it.
Who have not, I don't know who Sean Showtime is. They never heard the joke.
One of my Cordell Rest Press quotables is, for all my artists out there, you know, old to you is new to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Watch this. How many times have you heard? Have anybody ever heard Bruce?
Yeah.
Do the same set. Been doing the same set for about 20 years.
Wow.
But guess what? Now, he adds some stuff to it, true enough.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, that set is funny, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
How many times you seen it?
Yep.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, what's Steve Harvey saying?
He got paid $5 for this set, for the same jokes. He got paid $100 for the same jokes. He got paid $10,000 for the same
jokes.
Yeah.
Same jokes. If you pull up any, if you follow any of the comedians who've been out there for a while, and they go to city to city to city to city to city to city, that same joke he did in Cleveland, he gonna do the same joke in Florida. Mm-hmm. He gonna go to Detroit and do them same joke. He gonna go to California and do them same jokes.
So once you put out a special, should that whole routine be retired?
I wouldn't say retire it. I would say, because it's out there now.
Yeah.
So when you're on a different level like that and you're doing specials, yeah, I say that was the jokes for that special.
Right.
Now, you can go back to them jokes if you wanted to, because people want to hear them jokes sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, okay, they didn't did a special. Okay. Now, they doing a show somewhere else. They're going to bring some of them jokes out they did in the special. Only because them jokes were funny.
Right.
Just like when Cat Williams did that, this right here, nigga, that shit right here, nigga, that nigga, this right here, nigga.
Right.
He said it again somewhere else. You see what I'm saying? But it was more of a callback.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So it's just the simple fact that you can do those, but yeah, you bring out your new stuff when you doing specials and you recording it. That's the difference. But if you just doing comedy, you say, get you a set, man.
Yeah.
Get you a set and kill that set and tone that set and work that set and tweak that set to the fact, to the point where that set, you can do anywhere and make anybody laugh.
Bread and butter. Yeah.
You can do them sets and make anybody laugh with them sets.
It was a struggle to get him to understand that in the beginning.
Yeah. I see comics do it all the time.
Yeah.
They coming in, I need to do some new stuff. I need to do some new stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. But do you have a solid 5-10 minutes?
I was bored doing the same thing, so I was like, man, I got to come up with something new each and every time. But I realized, and I started doing, like what you said, making my set solid. And every time I went up on stage, I was working on different things. I used to never look at nobody. I was pacing.
Mm-hmm.
I was messing with the chord. Oh, so each time I went up, I was trying to work on something else different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So guess what? when you so watch this. I'll show you this. So if you doing new stuff, right, that you ain't never done. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I wouldn't know because I've never heard y'all do stuff.
Right.
I've never seen any one of y'all do comedy.
Yeah.
So I would sit there and I'm listening to your jokes. I don't know if they're old or new.
Right.
So if you got a solid set that you've been doing, I ain't never heard it. So I'm going to break down. I'm going to be laughing.
Right.
So my thing is just find you a solid set, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Find you a solid set. Do that set. Now, you can do new stuff. There's nothing wrong with doing new stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Because that builds too.
But your bread and butter is your solid set.
Yeah.
Right.
5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
That's how it's laid out?
That's how it's laid out.
You heard that, people. So, hold on. That's gold. What you just said.
That's how you do
Take
it.
Take that in, motherfuckers, because that's how it starts. 5, 7. Yeah. 10, 15. They'll do no 12?
Is it straight? No, not really 12. It'd be more 15, 10, 15, 15 minutes.
Okay, because I know the 5.
Because
seven.
Sometimes you do 10 to 12. They might say 10 to 12, yeah. 5 to 7, something like that. But you know what I'm saying? You really want to get you a 15-minute set.
Okay.
From 10 to 15, 15 to 20 to 25 to 30.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you
yeah.
want to be able to get you some sets that you can do.
Yeah.
Just like I had to do that Mike Epps, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had to do 5 minutes. I said, okay, let's do 5 minutes.
On your birthday, I think you did like close to 50.
Yeah, I did a long time on that.
Nice.
I mean, my special, I did an hour.
You did you did a whole hour straight?
Yeah.
Yikes. See, that's a pro right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did an hour.
You can do 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, I did an hour. I did an hour on that.
You do.
I could have did
half
an hour at the improv because I was smoking on that show, and I could have did. It was like jokes that I left on the table that I could have just kept smacking, but I had to do. I did like 45 minutes, and then I had to get off. Yeah.
What do you think is? So I'm gonna go off of what he said because he makes sense on this, and I agree. Because I always say, you know, you build towards your hour, right? Mm-hmm. Is it better to build an hour and then just throw out a half hour special? And do half hour specials? Or do you think the hour's the main?
I would say if you can do a half hour, do the half hour first.
Okay.
You got to think, an hour is a long time to be talking.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And if it ain't funny, it's going to be a long time.
Yeah.
5 minutes is long if you ain't funny.
But then the problem is if you put out the half, then that's half of your hour. You need to just keep, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, but you want the hour.
But see,
is the goal the hour?
Here's the thing. The goal is an hour. The hour is, I mean, people, you got to think, man, people's attention span is very short nowadays. No. 30 minutes.
If they're paying to come see you as a headliner, is you expected to do an hour or 45?
So here's the thing. Watch this. Here's the thing. If I get up there and I'm smashing for 30 minutes straight, strong, boom, 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 they laughing, they cracking up. And I say, all right, that girl tonight. You think they're going to be disappointed?
Oh, hell no.
They won't.
No.
Because they had a laugh for 30 strong minutes. They don't know if it was an hour or not.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They had a strong laugh.
Yeah, they had a strong laugh.
Strong
now, laughs. The hour is more paced. See, a lot of people don't understand that. You can't get up there and just brrr all your jokes. Because then you're out of jokes and you still got 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Good. So I'm glad you said that. So that brings me to ask you,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel about crowd work? Do you do it? Is it necessary?
I'm going to say it's necessary, but you do it. Because when you a headliner.
Do it always mean you ran out of material?
No. No, no. It just means you're pacing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, here's the thing. You got material that's going to be, you got a time.
That's in clubs. Like
you got a time. Even in comedy clubs, whatever. That's why people, you'll see them pause. You'll see them fuck with the crowd a little bit. You'll see them, hey, who all this, such, crowd work. Thing is, you stretching out that time. You pay for that time.
Yeah.
If you getting paid for an hour, they want you to do an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want you to do 49 minutes.
Yeah.
59 minutes. They want you to do an hour.
Time. That's the biggest thing. We always talk about people running the light.
Yeah.
Time is
everything. Time is time. So the thing is, they pay you to do that time. So in order for me to do that time, sometimes you gotta stretch it a little bit. Take your time on your jokes. When the joke used to be fast, sometimes you gotta
slow it up
a little bit. Sometimes you gotta open yourself. Sometimes you gotta open yourself up. Sometimes you gotta open yourself up where you come out maybe crowd work.
Right. Well, I mean, we've had that because we've had, you know, we're so used to 5 minutes and this, but when we've gotten those shows where we're doing 20, it's like you're able to breathe a little bit. You ain't got to worry about you can mess around, and then when somebody says something, you can play off of that because you ain't got to worry about the light coming in. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
I have never used 30 minutes to drink on stage yet.
No, yeah, me neither yet. I've taken a sip of water once. I never did that.
Yeah,
I've always
take water on the stage.
I always take water.
Or I tell somebody to come in and bring me some water. Sometimes I forget my water,
is it a time filler?
Yeah, it's time filler. Well, the only can somebody bring me up some water right quick?
Only time I did that was when we were doing like, I think I did 20 something minutes. That was like 26 minutes at the desert, and then, you know, I smoked, so I got cotton mouth. I had to have my water up there for that shit, but I only did a sip. But I'm glad it was able to get last for me to take a sip. You know what I mean? It's one of those deals where you use those breaks to take a sip of water.
And you can work on that, too. Yeah. You can take a sip like that. Don't y'all take breaks on y'all job? Yeah. Take a break on my job.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's comfortability. That comes with the years, I think, of doing it. When I hear 10 years, I was worried about 10 years of fucking, okay, I think we came in finding, knowing our voice because we knew what we kind of wanted to talk about being our age, and we kind of just a storyteller kind of.
I'm not going to claim that I know my voice yet.
I kind of think I know what I want to talk about. You know, that's kind of what it is, right? You just know, because people come in as one-liners and they try and do this, and you kind of know what you want to do. That's your voice. I mean, you're kind of there. Cordell, I ain't heard you go it's opposite of anything we've been doing since we started.
Got a little dirty.
Yeah. I mean, but that's your voice. You're just afraid to do it. Like, we've talked about shit on here, and he just buttons the fuck up because he's afraid to talk about shit on the podcast
sometimes.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes
that's just you buttoning up. That's you censoring yourself. That's all.
You got to give it out, man. Like, dude, and then it all depends on what crowd you got.
Well, yeah.
Let me tell you this. You got some crowds. They don't want to hear, I was over at the store, right? And I went over there and then I walked down and there was Brad just sitting on the ground and then I slipped on the ground and busted my ass. They don't want to hear that shit.
No.
Right. You got some crowds who want to hear some fucks. And, I mean, like I said, they want to hear some fucks and some shits and some bitches and some fucking and some sucking and all that shit. You got crowd that's what they want to hear.
Yeah.
It's so crazy, but that's, they got crowds that's what they want to hear.
You don't have that material. I'm not saying I don't have. The good thing about me,
you gotta have some funny jokes then. Yeah. Because that crowd right there was sitting at your ass like this.
Right. Right.
They be staring just like them.
Yeah.
Staring at your ass just like when they call them hair like this.
Like, you better be funny.
At least they're not.
And they get the blinking at your ass like this. That mean your ass better do something. You better throw some tricks at your ass on fire or something. You better, because
they ain't not clapping like that.
Trust me.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you this, man. I heard your comedic influences. Mm-hmm. You said you've been silly your whole life. Mm-hmm. I want to dig a little deeper.
What?
Where did it come from?
My whole family funny.
My grandma funny. Like who? My grandma and my grandfather. My mama funny to me.
My mama is hilarious.
This is what I want to know. Like, where it come from?
No, my mother is fucking hilarious. My mother come here right now and kill all of us.
Hey, mom. Your mom.
My mama's funny.
What's her name?
Barbara.
Shout out, Miss Barbara.
Shout out to Barbara.
Yeah, she's funny, man. She is funny. Like, she's naturally funny. Anytime if I go visit her at her job, you know, I say, I'm a Bob's son. Is she here? Your Bob's son? That crazy ass motherfucker. They just go off and they just flip. They just laugh because she's that funny. She's naturally funny. She's funny. My grandmama funny. My granddad, rest himself, was funny. My family's funny. So let me tell you this. So, anytime if you come to my house, my grandparents' house, rather, on any holiday, all of us is there. Mm. My uncles is there. My mama's there. My grandmama's there. My brothers is there. My sister is there. My kids is there. Mm. Everybody, you better have some skin on your ass. Cause they coming. The jokes is gonna fly from somewhere. You gonna do something and they gonna be on your ass. So you have to be able to fly. So my whole family is funny, man.
Nice, nice.
That's where it came from. That's what I wanted.
So my family is funny, man. Like they is really funny. Like they, we all we do. Like you know how some families fight each other. We don't do that. Yeah, we're so tight knit. We laugh every time we get together. The whole family just laugh. My grandmama funny.
Nice.
She 86.
Nice. Keep it rocking.
And she 86. And she goes and she's funny. My mama, my brothers, man. I'm just saying. That's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from.
On the real side. My kids funny too. They all funny, dude. Like,
well, yeah, well, look at,
yeah, like,
it rubs up.
My baby son, he said one of the funniest things when he was a kid. He said one of the funniest one liners that a kid can say. So I'll give you an example. So this is my baby son. He 20 now.
Okay,
that's the one that's in college. That's in California. But when he was about 4, 5 maybe, me and his mom was married at the time. And he said, so we had went shopping and he saw this Matchbox car. Y'all remember Matchbox cars? Yeah. He saw that little car, right? And when he saw the car, he wanted the car. Now his mother collect certain Matchbox cars.
Okay.
So she was in there. So my son was very smart at the time. He was able to read. He looked at the car and said, "This thing says 4 and up." And mama, you way past up. When he said you way past up, that was it for me.
He way past up.
She said, "Mama, but you way past up." I killed myself falling on the ground.
Because
it was in for a kid.
Yeah.
That's about 5 years old. He said, "Mind you way past up."
In the fact, see your mind, you were like, "That's a one line."
That was one line. but it was so funny, it killed me though. Like I was really in the aisles dying. And people didn't want to know what the hell was wrong with me.
I'm sure she didn't appreciate that.
She laughed too. Because it was funny. It was funny.
A joke is a joke.
Yeah, like my, this says 4 and up. You way past up. That killed me. I ain't gonna lie. He was only 5 years old when that happened. But it's just my, you know, they, you know.
Do you see any of your boys following your entertainment footsteps?
Yes, you know, because I was in music at first too.
Okay,
so I have my second son. Was the one that was in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. He's producing right now.
Nice.
Okay. He's rapping too. He's good too. Good. My little brother stepped into my footsteps. But all of them also play sports. You know that. Mm-hmm. And all of them play sports though. Nice. All of my kids play sports.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
All of them. All five of them.
That's such a good thing for kids in general.
Man. Yeah. All five of them play sports. Yeah. And now my baby son, he's in the entertainment right now too, so he's in there for filming, and he's in there for filming and editing and doing that stuff. So that's what he's in college for.
That's why
he's shooting movies. Yeah, he's shooting movies. So he's trying to shoot movies. Yeah, he's trying to do that. So
keep doing.
They all kind of did something that I do.
That's lit.
One way or another.
Nice.
You know, and they were good too. I'm not saying it because my kids, but they were all good too. They were very decent football players.
Nice.
Yeah,
so it's good to see your kids playing.
Yeah, I was
the biggest fan. My son played soccer as well, but he was a star. See, it was funny. I went to high school. I was never a star. I was always backup. I played special teams, but I never the star.
Yeah,
he was actually the star soccer player at school. That's dope. That was a football, but football.
That's football in other countries. It is.
So it's good to watch your kids.
It's only soccer here. You know,
right. Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, man. So yeah, I have a good time doing it though, man.
Good for you, man.
That was it.
So what we got looking forward in the future?
in the future.
Yeah, coming up, anything?
I'm pretty much, like I say, man, I'm want to push the movies.
Yeah, tell us about your room.
I'm bringing back another room. Catch These Jokes Comedy is now a business.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir. And I got a comedy room that I'm ready to do that I signed the contracts about. And it's about, it's called Catch These Jokes Comedy. It's at Miss O's in Garfield Heights, Ohio. I forget the address because it's new. Okay. But I'll give you the address later. But yeah. Anyways. In Garfield Heights, Ohio, in the plaza, the same plaza that Planet Fitness is in on Rockside Road. That's going to be starting January 11th with this funny headliner. Chocolate Shy is the headliner on that. Bringing Stephanie from Virginia and that. You know what I mean? So we're going to go ahead and bring the noise on that, man. And it's going to be a ladies' night, too. So it's going to be all female comics on that. Tickets are going to be $25, nice. And it's going to be a great venue. We got food. We got, you know.
So is it a one-hitter quitter, or is this a constant ongoing
thing? No, this is constant thing. This is my comedy room.
Nice. Okay.
So I'm going to be doing on Sunday. I think I'm going to be doing open mic on Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday you come in.
It sounds like the only one in town on
Sunday. It's gonna be, it's going to be great because you're going to have a crowd in every Sunday. And the thing about it is, I'm going to do it probably about 4 o'clock on a Sunday. About 4 to 7, people can still go to work and get ready to go to work and go.
So everybody make sure it's football season.
Yeah, we'll see 4 o'clock. See, a lot of the games is at 1. Yeah, but a lot of the time, you know, but
the second game at 4.
Yeah, but 4. But you know, we'll see.
It is what it is.
Yeah, we'll see.
It always sucks, like for comedy. I've heard when people like went to do shows places, like when they have playoff games, sometimes they're on Saturdays and stuff. And so, boy. They be doing a show and you hear people at the bar like, boo! Because they're yelling at the game.
Yeah. So the thing about that is, see, here's the secret to that. You gotta turn the TVs off.
Yeah.
If you don't turn the TVs off.
Speak on this.
Hold on. Yeah. Please explain.
Yeah.
Because they think it's a Corey or Cool Z thing. What agreement do you have to have with these club and bar owners when you're doing comedy? Like, what should happen?
So. You gotta turn the TVs off.
Off. Turn the TVs off.
Period. Now, I used to do. We all started off in bars.
Mm-hmm.
We all started off in bars.
Yeah.
I don't like bars anymore for that reason.
Yeah.
Either the TV's on, or there's people at the bar who's not there to see comedy.
Yes.
So they don't give a damn who's up there.
Yes.
They talking, they doing their thing, they at the bar, they drinking, and you like, hey, can you all turn it down? They're like, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's more or less, that's why I don't like bars, or I don't like doing shows at a bar. And let's see, here's the thing about a bar. If you pay to do the come to see comedy, then you there for the comedy.
Yes.
But if you doing like an open mic at a bar, that the bar's there and we right here, you're going to always get that problem.
Yeah,
always get that problem. Then you're going to always get that problem. If they're not, if you got people in there that's not there for the comedy.
So I'm gonna say this because this is a good advice, I guess. So is the key to find a room with, like, not a bar?
The key to finding a room is being able to do the room on an off night.
Off night for sure. Yeah, yeah.
If they don't do nothing on Tuesdays, go on there on a Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
Put a sign on the door. Comedy is this, that, and third.
Yeah.
You know, do that. Or like the bar. It gotta be an agreement.
Yeah. With the owners.
With the owners and stuff like that. But you gotta know when to do the comedy, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't. I've seen this before.
It's the worst, man.
It's the worst thing ever that you go and you doing comedy and everybody's loud.
Yeah.
And the louder you get, the louder they get. They laughing. They dapping up. They drinking. They toasting up. They talking to the barmaid.
Yeah.
You know, and it throws your comedy off, and then you be like, hey, can y'all be quiet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they like, hey, can y'all be quiet?
Yeah,
right. We ain't here to see y'all.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That part.
You feel what I'm saying?
That part. Yeah.
So the thing is, you have to fight with that in a bar, but you just got to know what bar to go.
Yeah.
Now, for instance, I'll give you an example. Kurt's Getaway have the bar, then they got a room off the bar. Okay. If you close the curtains, you have a good, great time doing that.
To do some comedy.
Yeah, do some comedy. Right. You can close the curtains. They doing their thing. You doing your thing. And that was another one of our rooms. I forgot about that one.
Okay.
Because that was Al Boogie's room.
Prayers for Kurt.
Yeah, yeah. That was Al Boogie's room. Yeah, he lost his son, man. Prayers for him. But that's who I'm doing the show with on Saturday.
Nice.
Okay. I'm doing the Soul Jam they got going on Saturday at that's over at the Camelot on Miles.
Nice.
But you just gotta understand. You gotta know where to do a room.
You gotta have an agreement with the owner. Like if you got TVs, no pool playing, no jukebox.
Yeah,
we are the entertainment. You know, and I always give D-Hawk the credit because he like always pumped that in my head when I was doing my room. One of the things that I did, and I'm trying to promote, and here go another thing I'm gonna ask you about, and we sort of think a little parallel when it comes to the promoting thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, when I asked the entertainers to come, like if you would have did my room when I had it,
mm-hmm.
I would have just asked you to bring you. Can you please bring Showtime and bring it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I already had the audience there waiting on.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You know, when I'm putting on shows, I don't put the promotion on the entertainer. If you brought people, that's a bonus, but you don't need to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I got the audience there waiting for you. You know, right. Because I know that promotion.
So let me put. Let me talk about
animal.
That.
Yeah, let me please talk about do. That. Let's go.
So, my son is 27. I've been doing shows for 27 years. Right back when he was born, I was producing and promoting shows.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe been 28 because I did it like a little bit before he was born.
Okay.
No. After he was born. So it was about 27 years. So anyway, promoters. There's a root word. Promote.
Promote, yeah.
Not post.
Speak on it. Yeah.
Yeah. The root word as if you're going to call yourself a promoter, then promote your show.
Promote your show.
Don't put the promotion on the comics or the artists. You don't see Mike Epps sharing flyers on his page. You don't see Cat Williams sharing flyers on his page. Guess what? You got a promoter who's paying for radio time, who's paying for the flyer to be out, who's doing what he got to do to promote the show. So when Cat Williams shows up, he shows up, and boom, there you show. Now, you got new guys, and I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You're saying, hey, why don't you bring your people because they can come and see you? That's a bonus.
Yeah.
But don't blame them if they don't.
Right.
You hired them to come and do a show for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You, whatever you promised them, whatever you said you was going to pay them, or if you didn't say you was going to pay them, you are the promoter of the show. This is your baby. You are the promoter. So promote your show.
Right.
I never depend on nobody to promote my shows. If you bring people, that's cool. Only thing I'll say is, hey, let me know how many tickets you need if you bring your people. Let me know how many tickets you need if you bring your people. Let me know how many tickets you need if you bring your people. For the most part, I get out and go out. I'm old school. If I'm going to do hand-to-hand flyers, if I'm going to get on video and say, hey, I'm doing this every single day. Promotions is an everyday thing. You don't just go on Facebook, put your flyer up there, and just leave it. Because guess what? The algorithm is going to wipe it away, and nobody's going to see it but one or two people. You're going to get two likes on that bitch, and that's because them the only two people who saw it.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Because, like I said, you and I think a little parallel. I'm calling people. I'm texting people. I'm sending messages. This is where I'm going to be at. Boom, boom, boom.
That's how you create a crowd. That's how you create a crowd. This is how I created my following that I do. And people wonder why. Man, how you get all them people in there? Because I created a relationship with people.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be likable.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me say this real fast. Favorite. Before we even get any further, you can't be an asshole and think people are going to come and see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period. You can't do it.
We think parallel.
You can't do it. You gotta be at least likable for people to come and see you. You giving people a good time. You got people. You cussing people out at your show. You trying to fight people at your show. Man, that's stupid. That's why you don't have nobody at your show. That's why you can only book and have 20 people at your show, and that's it. You can't. You have to be at least likable and understand and have build relationships with people.
We in the people business, folks.
Yeah.
Like all the comedians, like
we. It's a weird concept.
You can't be an asshole and think people are gonna come see you.
But you got.
Period. That's just what it is. You cannot be an asshole and think people are gonna come see you.
Spend money to come see you.
Yeah.
Get a babysitter.
And then you mad because ain't nobody come. And then you cuss them out again. Well, you ain't come to my. Because nobody fuck with you like that. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
Let's be real. You done burnt every bridge that you ever had, and then you expect people to show up at your show.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that. But, you know, and another thing that I had to learn personally is to not to take things so personal, because I'm calling certain people, and they saying stuff like, I don't do those type of shows anymore. And I'm thinking, like, what you talking about? Uh-huh. And the grand scheme of thing, it was a bar. So people think that what he described
Was a bar show.
Was a bar show. Yeah, I don't do that no more. Yeah. And I don't blame people that do.
That's why.
But guess what? It wasn't like that.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Wasn't like that. But you know what? The thing is this, though. Because especially if they've been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it was at a bar, and they're like, nah, I ain't gonna come.
Right. Well, you heard Chad. Chad was like, I'll come check it out.
No, he shout out to Chad. He said he came to see, and then he rocked it.
Yeah. Right. See, because the thing is, you gotta come and see. You don't wanna keep fighting with the people at the bar watching TV.
Yeah.
You don't wanna keep fighting with that.
You gotta have that agreement.
Yeah. You don't wanna keep fighting with that, because especially if you've been out here. And you've been rocking stages and doing what you got to do, and you there, and you doing comedy. And then you go to a bar, and there's everybody. Ain't nobody paying attention. Nobody. You just up there.
Nobody.
No.
I'm not going to say my ring was perfect. I had a couple of nights that was like that. There wasn't nobody paying attention. Only two, maybe one and a half.
Were they not paying attention? I just don't think there was. Sometimes there wasn't. You know, as big as a crowd as you hope, but everyone there watched comedy.
No, it was a couple of times when it was like people were getting turned away at the door, and it was like loud, and it was crazy.
Yeah,
well, that was but that was a packed house. It wasn't a bad thing, though.
No, it's not a bad thing, but I ain't.
Let me give you an example. Let me give you some game real quick, and I'm giving out.
I'm open. I'm open. Yeah, you can tell everybody the steps that they still won't do.
All the game today, and let me say this: I'm not better than nobody. Everybody got their own hustle.
Yep.
I just say that this part of the hustle, I know. Doing it for 28 years.
Yeah.
In not comedy, but I've been doing entertainment for 28 years.
Yeah.
And I've got some sold out shows under my belt, a bunch of them, since 2008.
There you go.
Speak on it.
Like, I mean, I ain't gonna say no names, but somebody was like, man, that dude, six sold out shows. Six sold out shows? I've been doing this shit since 2006. Selling out shit.
Yeah.
Bruh. So, but the thing is, it's like, you have to understand that when you want to do something in a big way, especially if people paying for this,
mm-hmm.
don't go to no bar.
Yeah.
Get you a venue, a hall, and host the show. Everybody's there for comedy. It ain't got to be a big hall.
Right.
My cousin got a hall right next door to where I'm doing my shows at. He got a hall right there that a seat about 75 to 100 people.
Okay.
Easy. Might be more. But he got a hall right there in Garfield. If you gonna do a show at a venue. This way you ain't got no TVs.
Right.
This way you don't have no interruptions. Everybody's there for the comedy.
For the comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand sometimes you try to get in the bars, you try to get somewhere, hey, we can do comedy here. sometimes you guys too buckle down and invest in yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, you might break even, but what you're trying to do is build a brand.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
trying to build yourself a brand.
Yeah.
You're trying to build something that's gonna that you can build on.
Right.
It trust me, it gets in autopilot at one point mm-hmm. where you can just put your name on something, or you can put it out there and say, hey, I'm finna do this show at XYZ. These are the comics. Oh, we coming. We there. Last time we did the show was funny as hell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
We had a good time.
I would like to say that I sort of built that brand
a little bit.
Right.
A little bit.
So the thing is, get you a place, man. Find this. Everybody got a hall now.
Yeah.
It don't have to be a large one. You don't have to try to overdo yourself and say, okay, here's a 1,000-seat theater only sell 200 people.
Right. Yeah, you
won't. That's a flop.
Right.
If you ask me. But if you got a place that holds 200 people,
yeah,
and you put 200 people in a set, you got a sold out show.
Yeah.
Hey.
If you got a place that holds, see, here's the difference. It holds 60 people.
Right.
And you sell 60 people, that's a sell out show.
Nice. Yeah.
If it holds 100 and you got 60, you okay. It's okay.
Good crowd, but not sold out.
So you know, at the end of the day, you saying get a venue.
Get your venue, man.
Yeah, not
lights
a bar.
And sound is important.
Lights and sound is important. Okay, I'll give you another example. What's that? Garage Shop?
Yeah.
Good venue.
Yeah.
They there for the comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the other one that Spike Ludum had? B-Side.
Yep.
If you go in there,
shout out to Spike.
They there for the comedy. Because there's nothing else going on.
Right.
Good places to do comedy.
Yep.
You find some spots like that, you can do comedy and be more successful at it.
Right.
You don't have to do all the fighting and all of the fighting with the TVs and the people at the bar who ain't there for the comedy. You got people here for the comedy and you got people who ain't there for the comedy. And then there you go.
Right.
Another question I wanted to ask you. I said you've been doing it for 28 years. Do you ever still get nervous?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you don't know how this crowd going to take you.
Yeah, you never know.
But when you get out there,
boom,
and you be you,
It goes away.
As
soon as they call my name, it's like,
Let me tell you something.
It's crazy.
I'm going to give you an example. Okay. So, I did the Funny Bone with Rob Ward. The first time.
Shout out to Rob.
And I was the first one to sell it out that fast. He even said it on there.
Shout out to you.
I got video to even for him vouching to saying that. He said he's the only one who sold it out this fast.
Nice.
I sold that show out and it was like 2 weeks left. Like 2 weeks still
nice.
Left or yeah. something like that. And there was no tickets.
Nice.
There was no tickets at all. So the thing was, and that was Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And the thing was, when I got out there, and they said, "Come to the stage, Sean Showtime," and that crowd erupted.
Yeah. You got the pop.
That was the pop right there. Cause I was nervous as hell when I came down there. I'm standing down there, nervous. I ain't never did it. See, you gotta understand. First of all, I never did the Funny Bone before.
Right.
That one, that particular one.
Yeah.
My whole club, I never done before.
Wow.
And I've been here.
So what did that mean for you to get that pop?
That
at
meant
home.
A lot because one, it sold out. That's what was one thing that was great with me.
Right.
I said, man, people still fuck with me, man. I said, people is really fucking with me for real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They really is, man. I said, okay. Let's see what happens then. I wrote a dope set. I did a lot of old stuff, but I did a lot of new stuff too. But, so I get there, I'm standing there, and they said, come onto the stage. Sean Showtime, and that crowd said, wow. That was it. When I charged up, I got on that stage. That was it.
Boom.
It was like a charge.
Yeah.
It was like, you know how you run the, you pull the car back.
Yeah.
And
let it go.
That's how that felt.
You kids don't know about those
right.
toys.
Right. Yeah. Like,
old school.
Right. You ain't. It felt so great. The fact that people came out and really wanted to see me do my thing. Down at the, it's people who I haven't seen, and shout out to them, man. It's so crazy because, dude, I don't want to get emotional on this mug, but it was people I ain't seen in like 20 years that was there.
Wow, that's dope.
It was people I ain't seen in 20 years.
Dope.
Was there that night.
Nice.
Because I posted it on Facebook, and then people was pushing it, and people was talking about it. I'm talking about, it was people I ain't seen since high school.
Yeah.
Was there.
And they were like, I knew you'd be here.
That night.
We had some lames there that was trying to get there. And it was like, they misguided me. I couldn't buy no tickets.
Oh, yeah.
So I
put, was that the day we were trying to get there?
I think that was the day.
I wish you would have called me. Because I said, what happened was, it was people who had, see, it's just the funny bone. When it was, what you call it, they didn't do it.
Yeah.
But it was just the funny bone. For the funny bone, you got third party people who buy them tickets and try to resell them.
Yeah.
But you could have still bought them for regular price. You just had to go on the actual actual Funny Bone website.
It was we both tried it.
It kept
redirected.
But you gotta go. You gotta get out of that and go down, or you could have just went on down there, because that's the reason why the second time we did it down there didn't sell out, because people was like, I'm trying to buy tickets, and they wanted, what is it? Yeah.
Yeah, they were like,
I'm like, I love you, Sean, but I ain't about to spend $75. I can't. It's not in the budget. $75, I mean, you worth it, but it just wasn't in the budget. That, plus that parking, it wasn't in the budget. Right? Yeah, that was the all-headliner show.
Yeah. Show. No, oh yeah, the all-headliner show, yeah. And that thing was, people, that could have sold out, but it was just those third party people just messing it up.
You said they almost got your sister.
They almost got my sister. Yeah. My sister, I had to tell my sister, I said, no. Because she like, what's these tickets? I said, no, you got to go directly. So she went directly to the site and got the tickets.
Ah, shit.
Yep.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So it's just different with that, though, man. But
congratulations, man. Yeah, thank you. You hear that pop, and man. That's dope.
Yeah, that pop, I know it's addictive.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It was a show. I did a special, and I'm mad at that because the dudes who filmed it, man, messed my stuff up, man. I could have really, that was a perfect show, man. Oh my God, it was me, Big Chevy.
Shout out to Big Chevy.
I was the headliner. Big Chevy was there. He killed it. Who else was on that show? Patterson was on that show. EP Patterson was on that show. And it was hosted by Burner.
Okay.
Shout out Burner. That's what we did that show out at the Front Stage Theater.
Front Stage.
Which was a sellout. Sold the whole thing out. And that had about 400 people in it.
Nice.
Yeah, and that thing was crazy. But that show right there was another sellout show, man, where people, you know, they came out, man, and they really messed with me. So it's just, man, I'm thanking God for that. I'm thanking God for that, and I'm just thanking the fact that, you know, you got to be likable, man.
Yeah,
you just got to be a likable person. I'm not saying you got to be the best looking person. You just got to be a likable.
So look, final words. You got to have sound, lighting,
yes.
Place to perform. You got to be likable. You can't be a jerk.
Yeah.
Turn off the TV.
Yes.
You know,
get a venue
and promote your show.
Promote
yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, anything you want to tell the people before we get out of here, man?
Hey, man, just keep grinding. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay out of people's way. You know what I'm saying? Stay sucker free, man, and you'll be okay, man. I'm telling you, man. It's just keep doing what you're doing, man. Stay sucker free and keep, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. You're gonna make it. Everybody gonna make it. Everybody got enough talent to make it in this comedy game or a rap game or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and I gotta send one shout out too, man.
Yep.
To Dominique Potts, man.
Oh yeah, shout out to Trap.
Trap Boy Mannequin, man. Here, you know he doing his awards, man. And I'm finally getting awards, man. I feel like Lil Richard. They don't never gave me nothing.
So we gonna see you New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, we're gonna be there.
Yeah, I'll be there too.
We're gonna be on the red carpet.
Yeah, I'll be there too. I'm gonna be there too. Piece together, put my award on. I'm gonna have a award speech and everything. I'm gonna be like Jay-Z on that joint. I'm gonna have the little braids and all that.
I I plan on sticking my hair back and putting on my curl up shoes, baby. You know what it is.
Episode of the Midnight Pocket Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trust, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
Hey, yo, Jake, where can they find you at, man?
Hey, everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me, where you can find us both at the Midnight Pocket Podcast. Where can they find you at, Sean Showtime?
Sean Showtime on Facebook and Sean Showtime underscore Instagram. You can definitely find me. You can also find me on TikTok, too, at Sean Showtime.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You can definitely find me at Sean Showtime on TikTok.
You, I think.
On TikTok?
I think so.
Yeah, there you go. Keep following me. I'm going to start doing this skits. I'm going to start doing this stuff. So you're going to see a lot of me. 2025. Let's go.
Let's go. Peace out.
Midnight Pocket Podcast. Midnight Pocket Podcast.